no place to escape to.
This is the Lost Podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. Oh, man. Australia. Wow.
Are we going to start every single podcast that we do from Australia with, Australia, huh?
What are we going to else? What else do we say?
We could say hello. Like, I don't know.
We are in a studio in Australia that has windows that look right out to the street.
Yes.
So people can look in.
Yeah.
So what I like to do is, look at my titty.
Keep your shirt down, Henry.
Look at me, old man.
This is like Hamsterdam. If everyone that was in the red light district windows were just chubby Polish men, I believe it would be called Hamsterdam.
Every boy has a price.
You're disgusting.
Can I literally ask you?
What?
How much money? Dude, let's just do this.
No. What?
Let's do it.
Don't be gross about it.
I'm not being gross.
Sounds like you're going to be gross.
No. But how much, Bunny, would it take for you to suck a man's penis?
Oh, this is like, what are we, in eighth grade?
Well, I don't know. We got to figure out what to talk about for 45 minutes.
It's not that big of a deal to do anyway, but I will just say, it's really not that big. Out $10 million.
Wow.
Am I lowballing or highballing?
That's highballing.
I don't know.
How good are you going to suck it?
I don't know. For $10 million, I'll shave just a mustache. I'll just have a mustache.
We might
do that. I'm going to shave and just have a mustache soon.
I think it's a great idea for
you. Thank you so much. All right, everyone. This is Side Stories. They're the stories that are on the side.
Great.
I am in bed with beautiful Polish Henry Zabrowski.
Yeah, dude.
We have had a blast here. Here in Australia. We were in Perth. That was dope as hell. The folks of Perth are crazy. A lot of wild times. And then Adelaide, like, legitimately beautiful place. And we wish we had more time there.
Yes.
And it's the murder capital of Australia, or at the very least, it's the murder capital of Australia.
They had a lot of pride.
A lot of pride.
For how many people were murdered in Adelaide.
Yes.
Which I understand. It's nice. It's nice to have a laurel. It's nice to have something out there to talk about.
Yeah, Wisconsin is like, we got beer, we got cheese. And then Adelaide is like, we got barrels full of bodies. And it's like,
okay. I ate a lot of meat last night.
We had a wonderful steak dinner. What was the name of that joint?
The Meat and Wine Company.
Yeah.
Which does sound sort of like the Spaghetti Factory or the Cheesecake Factory.
Because
there's a Spaghetti Factory in Vancouver.
Is that right?
I know all of the factory restaurants.
How do you know that?
For some reason, my brain logs them.
Interesting.
Being like, that's where a hard-working man works and eats.
He has to, because that's called the company meal or family meal.
But I had insane nightmares last night.
You
just
did.
From the meat sweats. Well, I had one dream that I was working for Elvis. But he was older, and he got in a big circular bed with a bunch of nude women. And then I was supposed to serve him food in a bed.
So you were the servant.
I was like a servant.
But this is the dream world, so you could have just either been Elvis, or you could have been like, Elvis could have been like, you know, here, we have all these women, and the women are like, I love you, Henry, in dream world, Henry. But instead, you were just a waiter.
I deserve whatever my brains give me. I feel like it's unfortunate. I feel like I do live there. I'm already living a dream.
Sure.
I'm living a fantastic life. So you got to have to flip it out. You got to change it up into dreams so I can learn something.
Well, I actually had a dream last night. We'll get to a couple of creepy tales here in a moment. But I had a dream last night that I killed someone, and it was someone that I knew, and I beheaded them and all this stuff, and I buried them, and the whole thing was me trying to cover it all up.
Who was it?
And faceless, nameless entity.
But you knew that you knew them.
I knew that I knew them. You know how the dream works.
I killed my parents in a dream not too long ago.
I know. I think it's every time they ask you for money, subconsciously, you just hate them more and more and more. And I think it does really breed bad dreams about your folks.
I asked my therapist, and she said it's just all about stuff.
It is all about.
It's
are
just
you? Are
stuff.
You? Wait, so what? What therapist? By the way, just to close on my dream, it was very exciting. I got away with it. Why? Because the person wasn't dead at the end.
Weird.
Although they did not have a head, but they could still talk.
That's fucking terrifying.
It was weird.
I My therapist is just an ATM outside of a Bank of America. I talk about it, and then messages just pop up on the screen like an American Psycho.
Right. You know what the ATMs have now? And I actually am not against it. But they got the donation for charity ATM.
It's one last little, like, guilt. Like, can you just press a button?
It works.
Of course.
Every single time. I have now given to the American Cancer Society, to the Heart Society. I've given to DAW, obviously, all animal, ASPCA,
because
all the time.
What are we pulling money out to do? Drink.
Exactly.
And so it's like, it's not like I'm getting money out to go and save my family's farm.
No.
I'm getting money to go put booze into my system so I could give you $2.
And quite frankly, I think that's the smartest thing they could be doing because you already take the money out. The guilt, you're always going to be doing something of vice, whether you're at a casino, going to an adult club, perhaps,
because
going to a bar.
Most people work on credit card. Or PayPal now, or Venmo. You don't need a lot of cash for a lot of things.
Well, we're hanging out with this dude. By the way, this tour, you know, we oftentimes joke about how we are just living Wayne's World.
Yes.
And it is a blessing, and we are very thankful. But we are fully on now to Wayne's World 2.
Yes.
And that dream came to fruition with our tour manager named Simon.
He's incredible.
Awesome.
And he told us a story about how he was working with Judas Priest and saying things like, I don't believe it, right? Saying he's old. So originally, you know, like Judas, you know, Rob, used to go out there. He used to actually ride his motorcycle out on stage.
Yeah.
But then got to the point where he can't hold up the bike anymore, and I'm working with him.
Well, he would drop the bike.
Yeah, because he would go up there. He's an old man. And he said, it's like, so we get a bunch of lads together, and then we, like, pick up the bike and just roll them on stage. And I was like, that's fucking hilarious.
The behind-the-scenes world of rock and roll is just the best. So, Simon, thank you so much. If you're listening, you have been kick-ass on this tour, and your tales are absolutely freaking hilarious. What I am learning is musicians might not be the most organized people.
I mean, are we?
Compared to musicians.
It's weird because I really do think that musicians have their shit less together than comedians. Comedians are less emotionally available.
Yes.
I think that's where our problems are. Where a comedian, a lot of times when I'm alone in a hotel room, it's like, I'll fuck a moisturizer bottle alone.
Sure.
You know, like, I cover myself in chocolate alone in a room. But we're not having fun. It's like a musician that goes out there, it's fucking random people and having crazy adventures and shit. Most of the time, my default is in the room,
yes,
nude, watching whatever local game show is happening.
Yes, in my brain, halfway through a hangout, maybe around 10 p.m. or 11 p.m., if I am remotely close to hungry, I do start to fantasize about what I'm going to order. I'm going to be alone.
Oh, I check
and
out.
And I just love it.
I just think about my foods.
Yeah.
Where am I going to go tonight? Look at these losers. They're all in the way of me eating whatever it is I want to eat tonight.
That's right.
It's cool. But honestly, we've had food adventures. You guys have had patience with me. And have chosen to allow me to have some food adventures along with you, which is nice.
Absolutely. I did not try the kangaroo yet, but
I'll
I will.
Eat slug.
They have a slug?
No, I don't even know. I honestly don't know if it's a thing.
No, I don't think that people, I mean, I'm sure some places eat slug, although I haven't seen any slug on a stick here.
I had some mealworms not too long ago, and they're delicious.
Full of protein.
This is going to be our protein of the future.
I know what's happening. But anyway, we are just having a blast, and it has been wonderful to see everyone down under. And I learned a lot about rugby. Score, that's called a try, that's 4 points, and then they get a kick, that's 2 points, 6 points, and then they show a lot of male butts.
Do they kick it between, like, posts?
Yeah, between uprights.
But
Tighter uprights.
Do they have to bounce it once and catch it, and then they kick it to each other?
They have to bounce it to kick it, and then they don't have to bounce it to pass it, but they can't pass it forward. You got to pass it backwards. And then they beat the living hell out of each other. And honestly, it makes me wish that we didn't. American football should just be rugby.
No, when they get the ball, they jump into like a square, right? That's where they get the points.
Well, that's if they have to do a scrum.
Scrum is when they all have sex with each other. I actually do think, because we were talking about this, we saw a bunch of rugby boys get off the plane.
Oh, yeah.
And they are some big,
handsome,
big boys.
Well, they're soccer players, so they have, like, the athletic mobility of a soccer player, so they're shredded, and then they have to be as strong and agile as, like, an amateur wrestler combined with a football player. So if I was a woman, yeah, I understand the desire to be with the perfect male athletic specimen such as, but the brain.
The brain is what's really important, Kissel. That's yeah. where we have, right, is the power of persuasion. You have to have that. Yeah, you can have all the beautiful man meat you want in the
sure.
world, but you know what? That guy, oh, yeah, he's great in bed. And
sure.
He can fix the
got
house.
A lot of money.
Oh,
a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot of stuff.
Right.
Can he do a Sudoku?
All right, well, let's just, speaking of, you know, I was almost going to make this guy hero of the week, but I can't encourage this activity, Henry.
Technically, we cannot encourage this activity in any way, shape, or form because it is still a bomb threat.
No, not that guy. We'll talk about
that guy.
Yes,
that guy. I also feel like he was trying something.
Yes, Henry's got a great bomb threat story here in a second. But this story just reminded me of Dave Matthews' Band. Do you remember when DMB was going over the bridge and they drained their toilet over the bridge in yes. Chicago, and it just yes. got a bunch of human yes. shit yes. on everyone on the boat? Well, it's happened again, but the perpetrator is not nearly as famous, nor are they found. Literally, this story is a paragraph long. So, this is from the BBC News. Urinating man causes injuries on Berlin boat. An unidentified man urinated from the low-lying Janowitz Bridge onto a tourist boat.
Yeah, get him! Get him!
It's just, is it... Was it supposed to rain today?
Oh, what is that? Oh, look. You know what I love? Catching the first few raindrops. That's what my daddy said. He said, you catch your first few raindrops, and that's good luck for the rest of the year. That's Berlin. I thought they drink piss all the time.
They might. Who knows? They're always having fun. A number of people on board of the boat jumped up in surprise, hitting their heads as the boat passed under the bridge. Four people were taken to the hospital with head lacerations.
How?
No one. I guess they really jumped, but no one knows who this guy was, so he wasn't fined or arrested.
He just created total chaos on that boat.
Chaos,
he pissed all over the boat, and everybody just went like, whoa!
But you know the guy urinating. First of all, he's not sober.
No.
And he had no idea. He's probably reading the same article we are, being like,
wow. Some people can't believe that people would do something like this. Not me. Meanwhile, he's like pissing his pants while he's reading it. It's hard to know where to piss. But I feel like also pointed piss on a boat. You know you're pissing. You know what you're looking at. So I think.
What are the odds, though? What are the odds of you? Because you know this guy
boat.
Had to go. Yeah, but this is just a little tour. It's just a little tourist boat. I mean,
it's still a boat.
Yeah.
I would. No matter how hammered I am, I would at least give a scan so I'm not pissing onto the hat of a cop, right? I would at least look over a little bit, and so I do feel like it might be pointedly done, and I expect to experience the same sort of treatment when we go to Berlin.
Yes, oh, absolutely. That's why I'm not going to get on the boats, but I will drink and walk over a bridge and see if I can't be the lucky man who gets to urinate, because we know for a fact— This is a man.
Oh, yes.
This is male privilege where we can actually whip it out and pee over a bridge.
It's the strongest, most powerful woman to ever live who can piss in a pure arc from the back of her vagina out in front of her like a skunk scaring people. I actually wonder if there's any ladies that can't do it, because I know there are ladies who have said that they can't piss in urinals, and I've seen them. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
where
sure.
they kind of back up, they put their leg up, they hold a full to the side, and then they can piss completely perpendicular to their bodies, which I'm saying, like,
it's cool.
You go, girl.
I love it. Hell yeah.
Yeah,
get it done.
You've seen all those documentaries.
Absolutely. Documentary footage. I believe Ken Burns. That's Burns with three N's.
Oh, I remember, because I remember it was my favorite. It was, I love it. Civil War, baseball, jazz, and piss. When he did piss, I was like, this is groundbreaking. The history of piss.
Yes.
The first guy to piss, the first guy to drink piss.
Uh-huh.
Did you watch a lot of pee-pee play videos back in the day? You did some Golden Shower stuff. You were into it.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's a wild time out there in the mean streets of Pornhub.
Any hot liquid is fun.
I enjoy fondue porn. Well, you know, you got a bunch of cheese.
I don't like food and sex, though.
No, I actually don't really understand the food and sex thing, and that is the one thing when
and
it comes
me
to, like,
talking.
Well, that's because when you eat food, it is sex.
For me, yes.
Yes, because you do have, like, you do have I guarantee you the pheromones that come off of your body when you see just, the like, the Wagyu tartare we had yesterday.
Yes.
That was, like, a experience that I felt the same neurons were firing.
Yes. I have even said, like, it is true. It is very similar to me. I watch it. I do sometimes feel like a cheetah. I do. When food's coming out, when the waiter's got the food, like when that steak popped down last night,
ugh,
I do sort of feel like Dennis Rader in the closet.
Sure. Just
staring
waiting
through the keyhole.
Right. Yeah. Rock hard. That's the thing with Dennis Rader. You know, he could never actually stay rock hard, so he was always just kind of a halfie because he's an impotent little piece of crap.
Well, the whole time he's like, man, I wish I was hard right now. That was him, just sitting watching, being like,
sad.
Why aren't I hard right now? This is like when I should be hard.
Well, we know for a fact the man who urinated off this bridge was not hard because urinating while erect is impossible. So
no,
there's a little tale.
That's true.
Yeah, it is.
You've never woken up with a morning boner and pissed with it.
I don't think that.
And then you have to press your boner down to get to the edge of the rim.
Well, no, I don't. I believe it has to. Well, this is not cock talk.
You've never done this.
No, because you can't physically.
Yeah,
it's
can.
Just because the penis is full of blood.
No.
So you cannot pass the
tube's not full with blood. It's not like if you start pissing with the boner, you're going to start pissing blood. The pee could come out if you got to pee.
If you really got to go. I think if the pee got
there
first.
You're talking as if I don't know. I do know. I've done
it. No, I know. I have to. But I think it does soften just so.
I have been rock hard and peed.
I don't think you can be.
I have done it.
Are you talking about aliens?
No, I'm talking about me. Speaking of aliens, this next story is incredible. Man arrested after police say he made explosive device in order to talk to police about aliens. Now, this was done by 69 News. Assholes.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming out of Myerstown, PA. Authorities say a man placed a homemade bomb outside a hotel in Lebanon County. Police arrested 28-year-old David Oxenrider Sunday. They say he made an explosive device. He left it in a parking lot at Bonnie House in Myerstown. The hotel owner contacted state police after Oxenrider had told them he had made an explosive device, which was inside his apartment. He told them, he said, hey, it's outside.
So this guy literally, he makes this device and he's like, got a bomb here, like Ace Ventura, Jim Carrey, when he's got the little box with the dog, right? And doesn't he say that he has a bomb here or something like that?
What?
Ace Ventura, when he's got the package. I got a package, people.
Yeah, but that's all he said.
Not a bomb, huh?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, back in the day, you could joke about it.
You could.
But not anymore.
No, you can't make any freaking jokes anymore.
People get really, really upset.
I heard that.
Oxenrider placed the device beside a dumpster after the hotel manager told him to remove it from the building. Because he called him and said, I got a bomb inside of I'm in the hotel and I have a bomb in my room. Which
Jeez.
It's you know.
Well,
it's
number one, you want to get out of there, I guess, then.
It's a dumb idea.
Yes, it is.
State police then arrived on scene. The bomb was disabled and no one was hurt. 30 residents of the hotel.
But the bomb was real.
Yes. Oh, yes. 30 residents of the hotel had been evacuated due to fears of secondary devices. Oxenrider told state police he had not intended to hurt anyone, that he only wanted to talk to police about what he said were experiences with aliens. In an interview with police, Oxenrider said that he had an encounter with a UFO ship and aliens. He said the aliens had told him, humans need to start being good people or else they will be destroyed with a nuclear laser beam. He's being held in Lemon County Prison.
So now he's been held in Lemon County Prison, which God knows what happens. We've seen Lemon Party Prison.
No, Lebanon.
And
Lebanon.
Oh, Lebanon.
Lebanon,
okay.
Yeah. Lemon Party.
That's a
you
want
to be happy for the rest of your life. Don't make a pretty woman your wife.
So this man, he just wanted to talk to the cops about the alien abduction that apparently he experienced. But couldn't he just not do the bomb thing?
Yeah.
And just talk to the cops? Or is the bomb thing actually something that was supposed to be nefarious and dangerous, and he's just using this alien thing as a cover-up?
I think he might not be all there.
Yeah.
I think he might have a couple of ruse short of a pack. I think that he tried to bridge a gap to the police because he said they probably wouldn't take his experience seriously, and so he felt that he needed to really get people's attention, which is then he went all the way to make a real bomb to do it.
But that is the That's the weird part, because he could have also publicly defecated if he wanted to speak with officers. He could have stolen any series of different candies from a grocery store had a confrontation with police officers.
We've seen this extreme reaction before. Do you remember the guitarist from Cannibal Corpse, I believe?
Yes.
When he also had a public meltdown and wanted to talk about the truth about UFOs. We've been talking about this now for a while.
Yes.
We talked about it with Dan Aykroyd. We talked about it a little bit. This concept of does seeing an alien make you insane, or do you have to be insane to see an alien? What if, my favorite version of the truth is that all of this is real, and that he is truly being contacted by mischievous elements on the other side. They're like,
yeah,
why don't you make a bomb? They'll take you seriously if you make a bomb. And he's like, really? And they're like, aliens that the first people they actually contacted were ISIS, and the aliens got radicalized, and now the aliens are radicalizing people here.
So it's an alien terrorist. This is the first alien terrorist that we've had so far in this country.
Unless you do believe that all aliens are terrorists.
Indeed.
Some people do believe that, and that's a part of what the abduction experience is, which is essentially space rape.
So with this guy, I do have a problem with what he said, what the aliens told him.
Yes.
Because the aliens are like, you all are being mean to each other, so if you don't stop being mean to each other, we're going to explode you with a nuclear laser beam, which is not really how that would work. But
no.
Doesn't it seem like they're being mean then?
Yeah.
So I feel like it's logically, wouldn't the aliens just be like, when you're nice to each other, we will be nice to you, and as long as you guys are mean to each other, you'll never fully understand what peace could look like because we won't visit your planet.
There's many common threads, right, where a lot of times in abduction scenarios where people said that they've talked to entities that have given them like a breakdown of what will happen to the human race if we don't change our ways, because it really depends on what you believe about the aliens' relationship to us, because they're have they always been here? Have the aliens have always been a part of our and raised us and helped create us? Is the whole alien agenda storyline where reptilians came and created us out of the primitive apes and they made humans in order to work for them, and then we've always been embroiled in space drama?
Right.
Or have UFOs not shown up until the mid-1940s when we basically came online with the nuclear age, and that kind of brought their attention towards us? And there's a lot of people that believe that. I think it's conversely one or the other. This is this belief that if they started talking to us in the 1940s and they want to specifically warn us about our nuclear devices, I feel like this guy should go into, I think the term is the loony house. He needs to go into the boo-boo dome. Like, he needs to go to some place.
Boo-boo dome is another term for it. Yeah.
He needs to go. I think he's incorrect. But there are many people that during an abduction experience have had aliens say, you will never experience the peace of our world until you guys figure out how to handle your shit.
Rise from your grave.
This story, we're not going to go into great detail, but it's about this dude, Brent Christensen.
Oh, this is interesting.
This is disgusting. This man is a total monster. His idol was Ted Bundy. Like, you know, we talk about massive red flag.
Red flag.
Red flag. If you're on a first date and they say, I'm interested in true crime. Okay. They can continue. If they say, my idol is Ted Bundy, red flag, date over, and you don't even need to wait for the check. You're allowed to get up and leave.
And you could, my idol is Ted Bundy is really, really, it's a hard fucking edge. Love a Ted Bundy. The thing that always makes me weird when people's being like, Ted Bundy's my spirit animal, like the whole spirit animal thing. That's almost worse because it's cute.
It's disgusting, and that is not. That is, these people, as we know, are not to be idolized. They're a bunch of pathetic morons. But this is a sad story about this student named Ying Ying Zhang. She was a student at the University of Illinois, and this monster ended up kidnapping her. He raped her, he murdered her, and he did it, again, because he loved Ted Bundy. So he was a 29-year-old student instructor and doctoral candidate. Prosecutors say he's been living a double life, and he had an abduction fantasy. He told his girlfriend, which is amazing, It's always incredible that these people have girlfriends.
I mean, honestly, honestly, you manage to figure out. I guess it's because, like all these guys, they compartmentalize it and they believe they have this one festering dark idea that they let sit dormant until it comes knocking at the fucking conscious door.
Yeah. I will say though, I don't think he compartmentalized. This very well, because he would talk to his girlfriend about how he would love to kill and rape and all this kind of horrible stuff. So his girlfriend, to her credit, was like, I think I'm going to put a wire between my bosom and just let's see what he says to
me. She did?
She did wear a wire.
She recorded herself? She did it?
Yes. So this is according to his girlfriend. He told her that Miss Zhang, again, so sad, was his 13th victim and that, quote, he was apparently very good at this. And so sadly, the family of Zhang went to Illinois and were like, hey, man, we really want the body. And this monster said, quote, the family won't leave until she is found. Well, they are going to leave empty-handed because they will never find her. His girlfriend, Tara Bullis, prodded him along to keep talking because she was wearing the wire. But evidently...
This is a brave-ass woman.
Well, I think
honestly,
he was already... I think he was in custody at this point. So he's going to face potentially a life sentence or the death penalty, a punishment that federal prosecutors and Zhang's family are seeking, but that Christensen himself avidly sought to halt. So he's not like... You know, there is some... Obviously, this is all horrible, but... There is something about a serial killer being like, give me the death penalty. Like, what didn't Panzeram want the death penalty?
Well, Panzeram wanted to die. We had him who definitely wanted to die. We had Israel Keyes who definitely wanted to die. But the problem is that it's hard because I hate giving them anything that they want.
So I'm actually happier, and I'm not actually for the death penalty, but in the world where we do have the death penalty, I am actually happier if he does get it that he doesn't want it.
Yeah.
Because that's the way it should work.
Yeah, you should get whatever it is you don't want. You're a serial killer.
Absolutely. So this is according to defense attorney George F. Tassif. He says, it will be startling for many of you to hear Brent Christensen is responsible for the death of Ying Ying. He goes on to say, so in view of what I just said, some of you may be asking, why are we having a trial in this first stage? The answer to that is that Brett Christensen is on trial for his life. So Zhang, she moved to Illinois at 26 from China. She was pursuing a doctoral degree in crop sciences, hoping to later return to China and teach at the university. Federal prosecutor Eugene Miller says she didn't know that before she even came to this country, the defendant had gone down this dark path that led to this very moment. So this guy's a monster. Just really sad.
You know, because I don't really run that way, I'd love to hear from someone who is an expert, like either anybody who works as a dom or people who really have very intense expertise in the S&M world. How the fuck do you actually negotiate and talk about with your partner these things, like the concept of having dark abduction fantasies?
Well,
like, is there a way to safely express these feelings and these impulses?
Well, we have a lot of listeners who do, you know, a lot of leather play, dom play.
Sure.
And again, whatever we were, you know, if you like the P play, whatever you want to do,
but
I don't give a crap.
The hard shit. I'm talking like the stuff where you show up dressed as a fucking police officer and you do all the weird rape fantasy
my understanding is a lot of very strict rules. So, for example, if someone's like, I don't do anal, you cannot. Like, that is like, that is a rule.
Yeah, of course.
And the safe words, I think they really, it's very regimented sex in a strange irony.
Well, I feel like
honestly,
if you're already constricted, might as well also be mentally constricted as well.
Well, because
if you
it's dangerous, it's scary territory too, you know, you gotta be careful.
Scary, but I think that's a part of why they like it. Where
of course.
I like to smile.
When you have sex, you don't think that that's extreme. So you're just smiling like the Joker?
No, I'm not grinning like a shark. I'm not going, ha, 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 sometimes on the inside. But I like to be having a good time.
Well, of course, but to them, that is a good time.
Screaming with pain? I guess so.
Hey, man.
I guess that's what they want.
Whatever.
Mostly, I can't imagine me going, like I'm on a roller coaster, but it's like coming off the rails.
Well, and of course, Henry did have his own anal experience on the flight over here when it turns out that your butthole was sitting on the seat.
Well,
but
how many times do we have to talk about in my art? Huh. How many times have I expressed the fact that I have no ass meat?
Many times.
I have legitimately no butt. And honestly, I do my legs. Now I lift leg weights, you know, so I've been squatting them and doing stuff.
Yeah.
I have a squeeze machine.
The butt coming in?
Nothing. I think that it's the opposite. I'm getting like dimples on the side of it.
Oh, that's good. That means there's muscle forming around it.
No, it's just if you laid me down and put a hot dog right on my fucking butt crack, it looked like a little sweet little Coney Islander.
Really? A little bun there. A little Nathan's.
Yeah, it's this little, like, it's like two little brioche slider buns. My problem is that I when I sit for a really long time, I knew the 15-hour flight to Australia was going to be very uncomfortable. I knew
it.
Of course.
And
you kind of mentally prepare yourself a little bit. But I was sitting on my fucking rim for 15 hours.
Yes, which is bad enough, but it turns out it wasn't just the seat you were sitting on.
I was sitting for about four of those on the buckle. And I am still, honestly, I still kind of have phantom pains.
I'm sure you do. You were sitting on solid stainless steel for 4 hours on
American made.
American, thank God.
Sat on the buckle, I'm sitting there, because the first thing I'll be like, oh, God, my fucking butthole's falling apart. I'm going to get roids. I'm getting roids in fucking Australia. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Technically, this is a good place to have it. They have great healthcare here.
I'm not going to the Australian doctor.
No, it's free.
You don't have to suck the guy's dick first or something?
It's not America.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I thankfully wasn't bleeding from the asshole.
Great. Well, just back to this story briefly.
Thankfully.
This monster, Christensen, first opened up about his ideas of abducting and killing a random person to university counselors in March of 2017.
And they said nothing? I guess they can't say anything.
I think that once they say that they want to abduct and murder, I'm fairly certain the oath that counselors take kind of goes out the window. Mm. And they're like, you need to go seek help. Mm. He said he was feeling suicidal because his wife wanted to leave him because he couldn't get a handle on his drinking and his drug use. So he just dropped out of his doctoral program to take a master's track instead while maintaining his teaching position, which I don't get how this guy got a teaching position. But this is according to Miller, the counselor.
This is how desperately they need teachers.
I guess so.
This is where they are going to for teachers. Next thing you know, we're going to have a dog teacher.
Oh, that would be great.
It's like, I about doing my homework.
Yeah. No, you think I'm not good enough to be in the class? I failed the class? My dad's going to kill me. He's paying a lot of... You just flicked me off with your paw. I hate this fucking hard-ass, hard-nosed dog professor. Apparently, he talked to this counselor. He said serial killer Bundy fascinated him, and this is what she said. She said he admitted that he had gone pretty far down the path of thinking about abducting and killing someone, including how to do it, and admitted he'd identify the type of person he would have chose. So this is in April. He started frequenting a forum on the internet called Abduction 101 on a website for BDSM fetishes. Bullis, that's the girlfriend whom he met on OkCupid. If you are on it, get off of it, please. God,
not OkCupid.
Not
that's actually a good
all.
S&M version of that.
Yes, with the permission of his wife, had introduced him to the world of BDSM. Prosecutors say on the forum, he joined chats about, quote, perfect abduction fantasy and, quote, planning a kidnapping. He wrote online that he would buy a duffel bag big enough to fit a body inside. And soon, when his wife went out of town for the weekend in June, he bought one off the internet. So this is interesting, though, Henry, and this is what I want to talk about there. It's like, remember the cannibal cop case?
I was just about to bring that up. I am staunchly against going after somebody for thought crime.
Exactly.
Right? I understand that you can have a dark impulse.
Absolutely.
And a kink. You can have these things, and it's completely, entirely appropriate if you handle it correctly.
Absolutely.
And it all stays in the fantasy realm and in consensual sex play.
Exactly.
But for these guys, I just can't help but feel that it's a slippery slope. As soon as you go into this abduction world, being like, it does get to a point where they're it's like a drug.
Well, it's like when people, like the guy, this is a total non sequitur, but the point here is, like the guy who tackled Bret Hart at his Hall of Fame induction speech,
he literally thought
he was going to be like, I'm going to be in the WWE now. I've done it. And it's like, you have a disconnect from realizing.
Well, he must be truly mentally ill.
Right.
Or this guy is truly mentally ill. The Cannibal Cop, you know, I don't know. Obviously, everything he did was fake.
So just a quick recap on the Cannibal Cop. He was a police officer. He would go on these websites that talked about cannibalism, eating women and stuff like that. But now what put him into the other realm of possibility was, is this guy going to do this? In other words, was he bought all of the ropes?
He bought all of that shit.
So then people, and he also did look up, because police obviously have a lot of information at their fingertips. He illegally used police profiles and police databases to potentially find victims.
But what he would do, but then he never did it. He didn't do anything.
Right.
But it was all about making his fantasy realer and realer and realer and realer. And at what point, when does it tip?
Exactly.
And mostly, I think the tip is, are you mentally ill or not? Are you an asshole or not? Like, do you have psychopathic tendencies? Are you fucking schizophrenic?
Right.
Like, do you have these things that can end up, like, where you truly can't discern reality and fantasy, where you get so deep inside of your own fantasy that you can't see the edges of it? I feel like that's the true difference, where this fucking piece of shit obviously got lost. He got lost in the fantasy. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I don't think he has other victims. I think he has one victim.
I think so. Yeah, I think this was too.
This is an extended fantasy that then it's saying what we kind of talk about a little bit about Ted Bundy himself, which is Ted Bundy probably exaggerated his own crimes. Mm-hmm. We don't know whether or not he really did necrophilia or if he did any of this kind of stuff. We take it that he did.
Right.
And we, in the last podcast and left, we believe that at least 50 to 75% of it is real.
It's one of the rare times where, when it comes to talking to a sociopath, I give them the benefit of the doubt.
Like, sure.
Where they're like, "Oh, you fucked the severed head of a corpse." Okay, I guess so.
But it seems to me there's also a psychological, like, he gets psychological pleasure from saying even something that's fake about the crimes that he's done, because he gets the reaction that he wants. What he actually gets off on are people going, "Oh my God, oh
I can't
God.
Believe it."
And
yeah,
he can control the narrative of his entire arc. He can create a whole fucking D&D version of his serial killer life, where he has created a backstory, he's created a series of victims and all this stuff, and he really just did it once.
Well, evidently, so he told this therapist again, Miller, that he was like going to clean up. He's like, "I'm capable of cleaning up all the evidence and stuff." Well, turns out that was also a lie. He eliminated every trace of the crime that he could think of: Drano for the blood that went down the bathtub, bleach for the blood on the carpet and the bedroom walls. But he forgot a few things. He did not clean behind the baseboard, and he did not clean under the carpet.
Fucking
and
asshole.
That's where the police found this poor, poor victim's blood. And they also found, this is disgusting, a Louisville Slugger baseball bat. The blood was nearly invisible, but it was on there too. So
Jesus.
It looks like he did something with a baseball bat to this.
That's what we were talking about with the family murders. There were a lot of horrible, horrible shit happened with gigantic objects.
Yeah, so police ended up enlisting his girlfriend at that point, and that's when the FBI put a wire on her. And thankfully, this monster is caught before. I do believe he would have killed 13 people.
Oh, absolutely. I think he wanted to. I think he was really excited about it. I just think that I don't think he did it. I think it was all for talk.
Yeah.
Because you just have to really let yourself go to be a serial killer.
And honestly, I don't want to demean. I love teachers, specifically college professors are different. Because college professors can be on an ego trip. We've all had some college professors that you're just like, you're not. I understand that in this room, during this 90 minutes, you're a god.
You're the guy,
I guess.
You're the guy.
But a lot of them can be completely pretentious and up their own asshole and think that they really are. Like, they buy into their own bullshit.
Especially if you've been reading long enough about serial killers and you really do, and you think they're fucking cool. Like, you think it's actually cool to be a serial killer. This piece of shit.
Yep.
We have this other story that I think is really interesting. So this is out of, this is on from whotv.com.
This is
out of Lincoln, Nebraska. This murder suspect slashes own throat in Nebraska courtroom. This is fucking kind of metal in a way.
Well, the guy's a monster, but yeah.
So out of Omaha, Nebraska, a Nebraska man accused of killing a 24-year-old woman slashed his own throat in the middle of his murder trial at the Saline County Courthouse Monday morning, according to KMTV. Aubrey Trial shouted, "Bailey is innocent and I curse you all!" before he slashed his neck and fell from a wheelchair during court proceedings. Trail was likely referencing 25-year-old Bailey Boswell, who's also been charged with first-degree murder in the gruesome death and dismemberment of 24-year-old Sidney Loof. Boswell is awaiting trial. He swiped what may have been a pen across his neck. Deputies and others rushed to help Trail as he lay on the courtroom floor in Wilbur. Medics wheeled him out of the courthouse on a gurney and loaded him into an ambulance to give him medical aid. It's unclear what Trail's injuries are and when the trial might resume.
So this dude is gonna live. So evidently prosecutors say Loof's death was a planned abduction and killing, kind of going back. That seems to be the theme of today's episode. Trail's attorney says Loof's killing was an accident that occurred as she, Trail, and Boswell played out a consensual sex fantasy. So
again, man, you got to be careful with this
you
shit.
You have got to be careful. And obviously, this man stabbing himself in the neck with a pen. I mean, I don't think they're giving you silverware.
I'm pretty sure
lunch isn't being served in the courtroom.
I'm actually really very surprised we don't see more of this.
What? Just people
like
sort
freaking
of
out in the middle of the fucking, like doing another, the end of
you
a trial.
You can get into some YouTube holes. As a matter of fact, we were talking about this yesterday, and this is why I talk about this on Able Against Top Bad all the time. Criminal justice reform is a must. We must get better as a country because it is horrible what's going on right now. But if you do get into a YouTube hole of sentencing videos, you will, it is the saddest thing you can do.
It's so
and
fucked
people
up.
People really, some of these people are total assholes, and other of these people just got into a fist fight at a bar, and some of these folks are just in situations that they couldn't avoid, or they made a mistake, and all of us have made mistakes in life. So we have the real monsters, and then a lot of the people who are,
Or getting deeply punished for something that they're being made an example of or some fucking horrible bullshit.
We just over-sentence is all. Yeah, so so if you get into a YouTube hole, it is really interesting to see freakouts in court because the judge will literally be like, do it again. And then the person will do it again. They'll be like, 10 more years. Do it again. 20 more years. Like, they just throw these numbers out. And for a lot of these defendants, many of them are very young. They don't, like, when I was 18, I didn't know what 20 years was.
No, I had no clue. We were talking about with Bonnie and Clyde. It's like when they thought they were going to, like, we're going to die. We're going to do, we're going to go this, we're going to live this lifestyle till they fucking kill us. And it's like, you're 21 years old.
You have
no fucking clue what that means.
Yes. And at 71, you're like, I would love to live just
please
a little
let
longer.
Let me have more life.
Anyway, those are a couple of news stories. We'll get to Hero of the Week in a second, but we got a couple of fun little letters here, and Henry has one.
This is from A. This is a funny story that was handed to me. This one goes out to Marcus.
Really? All right.
Yeah. Went to the store on Thursday. This is a 4chan green text.
Okay. All right.
Went to the store on Thursday, bought a half-gallon jar of pickles. Love me some pickles. Eat one as soon as I get home. Tastes good, man, not bad. So good, I decide I'll have a few more. Walk back to my computer and start to work, but the urge is not sated.
Uh-oh.
Not by a long shot. Come back to life-giving pickle jar several more time. Eat several pickles each time. After an hour, the jar is empty. 400% of my daily sodium never tasted so good. 30 minutes later, I hear a churning in my stomach. Not a light rumbling. Sounds like the noise in an old tub makes when you suddenly pull the drain. Initiate sprint to bathroom mode. Barely get my ass on the toilet as a fucking waterfall emerges from my asshole. Never in my life have relief and horror been such close bedfellows. After about 10 seconds of continuous flow, it subsides to a trickle and stops. Toilet water is green and smells like vinegar.
Oh, my.
Body didn't even try to digest that shit. Clean up and go back to computer, thinking, thank God that's over. Not even close.
Oh, my.
5 minutes later, the rumbling is back, even louder this time. Sprint to bathroom, lather, rinse, repeat. This happens five more fucking times.
Oh.
It's finally all gone. Stomach is concave. I've never had less food inside my body. Completely cleaned out. Cue rumble. Sit in a toilet, but it's different this time. I know there's nothing in there. Shit out a tiny amount of liquid. Immediately feel better. Well, I guess there was just one tiny bit left. That wasn't so. All at once, the burning fire of a thousand young suns seeps upon my anal sphincter. I just shat out pure stomach acid.
Oh.
Frantically wiped at my ass to prevent it from melting away like a spaceship, like the spaceship floor in Alien.
All right.
Crawl and shower, turn cold water on full blast, and lie prone while gently sobbing. Eventually towel off and crawl exhausted into bed at 3 in the afternoon. Sleep for 14 hours. In retrospect, it was all totally worth it. I love me some pickles.
All right. Well,
a
good pickle story indeed. And speaking of poo-poo, this story was sent to me. This is actually from Reddit, but it was sent to me from a listener on our side story is lpotl@gmail.com account. Vince McMahon once shat himself and chased Briscoe around backstage. Okay, so this is the story. So the genesis is that, okay, so again, for those that don't know, Gerald Briscoe, he works with Vince McMahon. He's a long, long time dude in the professional wrestling industry. So Vince just shat himself. So why did it all happen? Evidently, Jim Ross went on Opie and Anthony's radio show and just like totally spilled the beans on this. And everyone's like, that was an inside story,
yeah,
Jim.
Yeah, that's supposed to be told. Yeah, so that's
story,
fucking hilarious.
So the story was well back over a decade ago when Vince was doing that heel character he did. He was Mr. McMahon. It was the Stone Cold era. It was pretty kick-ass stuff. So evidently, Gerald Briscoe, he was working the gorilla position, which is the dude who times out all the segments, basically just makes sure the show is moving right on time, because obviously these events are live and you got to have it tight. So before going out for his little segment, Vince McMahon went over to Gerald Briscoe and tried to fart in his face, but this man is a 70-year-old. At this point, he would be a 65-year-old man. So he tries to fart in his old buddy's face, but accidentally shit himself. And we'll tell more stories like this on my Kind of Fun wrestling podcast. Vince went over to Briscoe's face, accidentally shit himself. He went to the ring for his segment, did it with no problem. The brown stain was visible in the back of his khaki pants, and the camera people were all aware but didn't dare shoot it.
Yeah.
That's all the story he told. The way the story was told at the time is that when he came back, he must have changed clothes and was holding the loaded old pants. He tried to chase Briscoe down with them to make him vomit, and Triple H grabbed Briscoe and held him in place so he couldn't get away. But Briscoe used one of his old amateur moves and reversed and escaped because his boss had just soiled his pants, taken them off, and is running down the halls attempting to, I assume, put the dookie in his face.
That is too fucking funny, dude. That is too fucking, wow, what a fucking monster.
So, I cannot wait. Again, Kind of Fun. July 1st, we're going to have a little 15-minute episode just introducing you to myself and Katie Dirks, who is awesome. But we'll tell wrestling stories like that because, God, there are a lot.
There are a lot. And especially with him. It seems like I hear so many stories about him because I knew people who wrote for the WWE, and he was a fucking nightmare, dude.
He really was. Okay, well, I think it's time for Hero of the Week. What do you think, Henry?
I think so. I think there's a couple of I want to say thank you to the people who reached out to actually told me the process of how I could buy a Tommy gun.
Oh, how do you get it?
You got to get a Class 3 weapons license, and then you can actually get it. And then you also can go, there are places where you can rent a Tommy gun and just shoot it. Like, you can go to Vegas and you can do that. I wish I kind of, oh, yeah, buddy.
Maybe.
We're doing that.
Maybe for Marcus's bachelor party.
Kissel, he doesn't listen to this, so this is a good way to do this.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
He hates listening to this.
He doesn't listen. He doesn't want to hear more of us talking.
No.
Why would he do that?
We could actually, that's good.
Wow.
Tommy Gunn bachelor party.
Yes, this is it.
All right.
Great. Well, we figured that out.
Thank you. It's so easy. All right. Hero of the week.
It's also nice because it gets us out of camping.
Well, we could camp and shoot the guns.
No, I don't want to camp.
You want to glamp? We'll glamp.
How's that? I want to go in. If there's a lodge,
Henry, can't you just be a man? Just one weekend.
I am a man.
I know you're a man, but can't you be a tougher one?
I don't know.
All right.
Recordings of number stations. I love listening to them. It is. It can't be a man.
It's time for Hero of the Week, and this week's hero is Dr. Marijuana Pepsi. She won't change her name just to make other people happy. Marijuana Pepsi's mother told her that her birth name would take her places, and she wasn't wrong. After a life spent being mocked for her unusual name, this 46-year-old seized on her experience to earn a PhD in higher education leadership. As of last week, Marijuana Pepsi is now Dr. Marijuana Pepsi.
I'm really, really happy that she kept it.
Absolutely.
For what, her, did she say anything about how that fucking happened?
Her mom just said she wanted to give her a unique name. Maybe they both love marijuana and love Pepsi, so they named her, the daughter, after the things they love the most. Hey, there it is.
Is there no consideration for a human's life?
You know, but she's doing great. And honestly,
she's great.
Yeah.
She's great.
You got Mary. Obviously, you just call yourself Mary as a short name.
Mary
or
Jane.
Juana, if you want to do that.
Juana is like, it's obviously your name is fucking, it's Juana Man.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
that
yeah. That's Juana Man, yes. But this is Marijuana Pepsi. For her dissertation, it was titled Black Names in White Classrooms, Teacher Behaviors and Student Perceptions. And she said it is with... she says that people are treated differently with distinctively black names. Although I'm not sure if this is a distinctive black name or a distinctive white name or a distinctive Asian name. I think Marijuana Pepsi holds no racial
connotation. Yes.
There's really a lot of that. But the point is obviously made. So she told NPR, a lot of other people were thinking my mom was smoking marijuana and drinking Pepsi. But she says in the black community, we're used to having names that are more cultural. And again, I am not sure.
Also, I don't know if that counts as cultural, but it definitely is it's interesting where you could just, I mean, anybody can name anything.
Absolutely.
Honestly, my father very well could have named me Budweiser.
Without a doubt.
If you named it after what you truly loved, besides the fact that I am a junior, so yep. they did love him.
I will say her mom, who also gave birth to daughters Robin and Kimberly.
What? So they had two normal?
I guess. But they went with Marijuana Pepsi. So she is the hero of the week because she did not bend to the pressures of others as they were making fun of her for her name. And she said, you know what? Instead, I shall go become a doctor. So congratulations, Dr. Marijuana Pepsi. You are the hero of the week.
Dude, it's fucking great. I'm glad she did it. She stood up for herself.
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you all so much for listening. We have just, again, we can't say it enough. You're probably sick of hearing it.
We're obsessed. We've just never done this shit before in our lives. We have no clue. We've never traveled like this. This is absolutely insane. You come across the world and people actually give a shit about what you say on the other side of the goddamn planet.
Absolutely.
It is humbling and very intense.
It is. It's such a dream come true, and we don't take any of this experience for granted because this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing, and it's just such a thrill to be able to travel with our best friends and perform for all of you.
Honestly, I'm so scared of the 15-hour trip back for my poor little
butthole is already desperate for you need to put some Vaseline on there.
No, that's just going to make my fucking asshole stick to my underwear, and then I'm going to get a big grease stain. I'm going to look like I shat my pants.
Like Vince McMahon.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to look like I'm the old Oleo days, where I'm going to have the anal leakage.
Oleen. Yeah, the fat-free chips. I remember the Oleen leakage.
Is there anybody out there who works where, like, I don't know what industry this would be. Maybe podiatry? Something. Is there, like a little pillow, not the donut. I don't need a full
donut.
You
just want it on your butthole.
Yeah.
I'm sure that exists. Like it's a hemorrhoid treatment, I'm sure.
What if there's a little, like, tea packet size, like little, like maybe that would put too much attention on it. Maybe it needs to be like a sort of like a Tampax, like a big, like the pad, that shape, but like an inflatable little pillow I can sneak under my balls.
Why don't you just do that? Just get a Tampax pad.
No, that doesn't have enough weight. I need it. You know what would really
get a
help
heavy
if it was inflatable?
One.
No, that's not what I mean. That's not the, actually, wow. Maybe you're right.
I don't know.
Maybe
I'm
put it inside of my pants. Do they have adhesive things in it?
I think if you peel it back, I believe that there is adhesive.
Like little wings?
Yes, and then you can put those on your butt cheeks, and then you can have... I don't want to think about this. My God. All right, everyone.
I'll shave little patches.
Great.
I could actually probably, this is a really nice hotel that we're at, I could probably ask them to do it for me.
You think that'll be a good idea?
I think you can ask a barber to do that. Who else would you ask? Because think about it. Brazilian waxes happen.
I think that's a wife. I think that's a wife.
No, no, no. You can't let. There's love's got nothing to do with that. Love got to do. Saving his butt on now.
I remember that rendition. Yeah.
But secondhand ass.
Okay. Beautiful.
I think that would be something. If people do Brazilians on women, is there nobody nowhere you can go where someone can wax? Because it's not my asshole. It would be essentially just my cheeks. Because I do I trim them. I have to trim them because if not, I get full squirrel lumps down there. Well, I needed someone to go back there and really fully fucking and take it off. But not actually waxing, I'd probably scream.
Well, you're like, you do remind me of Mickey Rourke from The Wrestler, but totally different.
You know what? I'm coming back. That's what this is about.
This is what that's about?
Yeah.
A comeback.
You got a triple L, baby.
No, you do.
You gotta love who loves you.
That's right.
Sometimes. You gotta embrace where the love comes
from.
That's
true.
Which is really difficult.
It is hard.
Because sometimes, technically, if you cultivate a terrible fan base and they love you, that it is a problem. But at the same time, that is your fan base. So you enjoy them.
Well, we have a wonderful fan base, so.
Laugh like you got all the patches that you need fucking pulled from your asshole.
Oh, wow.
That you got a perfectly, laugh like you were born with two clear strips of skin right around your asshole that you can attach a heavy flow tampon to protect it at all times.
It's very specific laughter, yes, but.
And live.
Live, you bitch.
Live, I don't know why. Yeah.
Live, you bitch.
Just, yes, live. Live indeed. All right, everyone. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me, and thank you for your support.
Absolutely.
Thank
we
you
love
so
you.
Much for your fucking support in this hard time. OJ's back.
OJ is back.
And if anybody can come back, I guess it's him.
I've heard this is actually ending certain relationships. Spouses are breaking up with each other. Or this is probably very early on in the relationship. But if you find out your significant other followed OJ, some people are saying that's a red flag that person isn't good.
I feel like if you have a lady in your life and you follow him.
But I looked at his followers. It's a lot of women.
I mean, they're fucked up. They fucked up.
I guess.
See you, fuckers.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.